Welcome, folks, to the Week 7 Take the Points College Football Podcast. We have no time to waste. We don't have time to talk about the boring Week 6 games. We don't have time to talk about X-Files or whatever other nonsense we normally talk about because we got a week full of good games. Also, I'm losing my voice, so I don't have any long, drawn-out intro. But I'm going to introduce my co-hosts, Dan Partridge and Ryan Spillett. And I'm going to turn it right over to Dan because we're going straight into the Week 7 lines. Let's do some lines, boys.
Yeah. Thanks, Tom. Week 7, best week of the season so far. A lot to talk about. No time to talk about aliens or the Bills until later. So let's get right into the action. Oklahoma against Texas, Red River Rivalry. Noon Eastern, 9 a.m. start for us out here on the West Coast. Oklahoma minus 10.5, total 76. Ryan, why don't you start this one?
Whew, all right, throwing it to me. Thanks, Dan. This is feels a bit disrespectful. I think Texas absolutely has a rival. This should be a single-digit spread at most. I think this should be probably 6.5 at the most. Making this a touchdown or more seems a little bit crazy in a rivalry game. Sam just comes up big in big spots. Oklahoma really hasn't been tested yet. Not really sure how real they are, despite the fact that by the eye test they look really, really good. But for me, this is just a lot of points, and I like the points. I like Texas.
Mr. Z?
Yeah, so a pretty simple analysis for me. You've got a huge rivalry game and you're getting, double-digit points. I think I would always take the points in that situation, but especially this year when you've got a Texas team that can score, that hung with LSU for most of that game. I think LSU, to me, seems like a more well-rounded team than Oklahoma by a little bit. I mean, not by a huge margin. Jalen Hurts. He's been great this year, but we know the history. You know, he is susceptible to certain defensive schemes, and like he's not the he's not on the same level as Murray and Mayfield were the last 2 years. Now he could grow into that in that offense, but I will take the points with Texas, and I do think there is like a 20% chance of an outright upset, but I don't have the balls to pick the money line.
Tom, I love it. I think you do, and let me just jump in before Dan does because he's got a lot of good things. But one thing in this game is to win outright, I think it comes down to one simple thing. If Ellinger is the leading rusher for Texas, I don't think they win the game. If Sam's the second leading rusher, 60, 70, 80 yards, and they get a 100-yard rusher, I think Texas absolutely wins that game outright.
Yeah, I would add to that, like, both quarterbacks. Texas's goal should be that neither quarterback has a lot of rushing yards, and Oklahoma's goal should be that Jalen Hurts lights it up and that, again, Texas has to rely on Ellinger for the rushing game. So the more combined rushing yards from the QBs favors Oklahoma, and the fewer favors Texas all around.
Absolutely. I kind of agree with you guys. It's a rivalry game, and because Oklahoma beat Texas in the Big 12 title game, it's not like it's a super, revenge spot. Anyway, Ellinger can score points. Herman is an underdog, is an absolute goldmine, if you look at it. I think he's, 16-3-1 in his last 20 as a dog at this point. And I think it's more about a 50-50 coin flip Texas wins this game. So I really like Texas a lot. One of my favorite plays of the week. All right, moving on to another usually fun game, but not so much this year. South Carolina travels to Georgia. Georgia laying 24.5. A little bit of a slow start last week for Georgia. Had me a little concerned for a minute, but then they scored 34 in a row and beat Tennessee, so that was okay. I think Georgia hammers South Carolina here. It gets back on track, 38-3, something like that.
Yeah, South Carolina can't score. They don't have – I think Bentley's still out. I thought he was overrated as hell to begin with. So there's just no way South Carolina can score on a normal good defense, let alone an elite Georgia defense. So I like Georgia a lot too.
The one thing that concerns me for this, obviously I like Georgia a lot against almost anyone, but I guess the concern is a look ahead spot. Now they have Kentucky next game. So I don't know if that technically counts as a look ahead, though Kentucky's definitely better than South Carolina. But I pulled up the schedule. After Kentucky, they have Florida, Missouri, Auburn, A&M, and then the rivalry game against Georgia Tech. So it's like, I always look for, much like we talked about Penn State, Purdue last week, like when teams have a big upcoming slate, even if it's not a huge game next week, I look for, is there the one spot where they could sort of like lay up or take it a little bit easy? The fact that Georgia had to have a scoop and score with the referee assist to cover that spread after the slow start, I'm staying away from Georgia this week for aforementioned reasons. I absolutely would not bet South Carolina, but this will be my week off from taking Georgia.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to Georgia's opponent last week. Mississippi State travels to Tennessee. Mississippi State laying 10. Tom, make me a case for Mississippi State minus 7.
This feels like a setup, Dan. The case for Mississippi State is, Tennessee is historically bad. I think that's the simple case. Tennessee, I would say, looks slightly better with the freshman QB, but I'm no fool. So the case for them is better coach, better talent all around the field, and not historically horrible. Mississippi State.
Smart.
Okay, fair enough. I'm all right. I told Ryan I was going to do this, and he called me crazy. I like Tennessee this week, and let me explain why. Last week, they played against Georgia. Next week, they got to play against Alabama. This has to be a kitchen sink game. So I think Pruitt rallies the troops. He gets everyone excited. He gets the team ready to go. And I think that there's a chance...
Oh, sorry, Dan. Did I screw up your statement? Oh, sorry about that.
We're getting into it early this week. Early.
In good faith, let him continue this slander, this abomination, taking our podcast to new lows. No. Sorry, listeners. Ignore that advice. Don't take Tennessee.
Dan has left his seat as per usual with the tarmac report. Dan's on the bed, way in the back.
It is time, folks, for the return of the tarmac report, the countdown of the worst coaches in college football and the ones most likely to get pulled off the team plane by their AD and left in the tarmac. We're going to keep this brief because this stuff should be pretty obvious at this point. Who sucks? Number 5, Steve Adazio. You suck. Dan put me on to you. I sniffed around. I saw you blow it to Louisville. You're not going to make a bowl game. And you've had the same starting quarterback and running back for 3 straight years. Sorry, Adazio. You're great on ESPN. Get ready to go back.
Little positive spin there.
He's awesome on that, like when they had the national championship alternate channel with the coaches roundtable. Mm-hmm. Adazio's great. He's always got a giant chaw in and he makes great points about defense. But he can't win a game, so screw him. Number 4, Lovie Smith. Oh, Lovie. You know who sucks at football? Minnesota Golden Gophers. They beat you 40-17. Minnesota Golden Gophers whooped you. And you are the State University of Illinois, where Chicago resides. Sorry, Lovie. You can go be the quality control coach for the Tampa Bay Bucks next year. All right, number 3.
Hang on. Are we going to talk about Nebraska-Minnesota with the lines?
Yes.
Okay. I just want we'll note, to note. Okay, well, then we'll get back to that later.
Oh, yes. Number 3, Chip Kelly. Oh, Chip.
Oh, poor Chip.
Oh, my God, Chip. here on Take the Points, we've talked about how absolutely atrocious the Oregon State Beavers program has been. And they whooped your ass 48-31 at home. You got beat by Oregon State. Oh, Chip, you're another one. You're good on TV. Polish up that resume, brah. Oh, man. Number two, oof, just because you were on a bye last week doesn't mean you can hide from the tarmac. Willie Taggart. Oh, Willie, you're going to Clemson this week. We'll get back to you later in depth, but guess what? You're going to get murdered. Dabo's going to take your soul like Shang Tsung in Mortal Kombat. It's over. This might be actually the week that Willie gets left on the tarmac. That might actually happen this week. Dabo might take his soul and his job. Number one, Dan.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like an abusive relationship. You make me do this to you. You make me do this. Jeremy Pruitt. Oh, man, Jeremy. There was a lot of predictions that you wouldn't be on this tarmac report because you'd already been fired. But Kirby Smart's a nice guy. And he let up on you.
He did.
And you're gonna be okay this week. You're going to keep this relatively close, like under three scores. But this is also preemptive because when you go to Tuscaloosa next week, the real Shang Tsung, the real master, the boss of all bosses at the end of NK2, Nick Saban, is going to absolutely destroy you and take everything from you because that's what he does to all his assistant coaches. Jeremy Pruitt, you're number one on the tarmac for a reason. That's it for this week, folks.
Well done, well done. Yeah, Tuscaloosa's, you know, drivable from Knoxville, so that's good news. I have Saban, if he wanted to, he could, like, make some calls and actually not only get him fired, but, like, stop all Uber drivers from picking him up.
The Greyhound report.
Saban's just going to hire him. This is what he does. He's like, listen, come back to daddy. Come, you weren't ready. Come back to daddy.
Oh, that's a good idea. Sure. Yeah, like after the game, he just brings out two assistants and they each grab Pruitt by one arm and they're like, you come with us. And they just bring him up to the special assistant booth and they're like, you live here now.
Yes. Here's your tin of Copenhagen. Here's your coffee cup. Here's your playbook. Sit in the booth.
There, I've got so many thoughts on that, but I want to go back to Willie Taggart. In a game where Florida State was not involved when they were on a bye week, game day had some great Willie Taggart-inspired signs. So he's everywhere, and that's how bad it is. You know, they're even throwing in jabs when he's not even playing. So I did like the, you know, all the signs that say, like, blank was inspired by Willie Taggart to rip on other coaches.
He's a punchline.
Yeah.
For more than just us.
All right. What do we got next, Danny?
All right. We've moved on from the early slate onto the 3:30 Easterns. A rare 3:30 Eastern game here. Washington State at Arizona State. Arizona State lane 1.5. Total of 59. Tom, are you going to watch some Pac fucking 12 this Saturday and actually see Washington State, Arizona State?
Probably not, but I guess it is possible.
I made calls to get this game scheduled earlier. You don't get it.
Don't get me wrong. I'll check in on Herm for
this
sure.
This game was originally scheduled at 1:30 Eastern Sunday morning.
You know, I watched some Oregon Cal when Oregon struggled against Cal's backup quarterback last week, and that was the Pac-12 I've been missing, and I guess I'm happy to pass.
Real Pac-12 involves one non-California team at a minimum, just to keep it real. But anyway, this is a weird game. I actually like kind of like the under. It's still going to be kind of hot, sunny, bright. 60 points is kind of a lot for a total. It's 59, actually. Arizona State loves defense. Washington State's not the same. They fired their D coordinator. Maybe they'll be inspired. I don't know. It's like the under. I think it's a low-scoring game. So under 59 is my play in that one.
Absolutely. Herm unders have been a great, great gold mine for the last two seasons. Keep it rolling with Herm. Under.
Pass.
Pass. Thank you, Tom. All right, moving on. Any reason why Clemson minus 26.5 isn't an auto bet? I say it's an auto bet.
Auto bet.
Do you want to bet on Willie Taggart on the road?
All right, that's a consensus. Moving on. Alabama, number one ranked team in the land, travels to Texas A&M, who's number 24 somehow. I swear they could lose seven games and be number 24 ranked in the country every year. Bama minus 17, total 61.5. Is this the big Jimbo Fisher home wind? Are they going to take Kellen Mond over to the Mond and get all excited? When was the last time A&M actually won a big game at home? I mean, I don't know.
Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, we talked about this last week. You know, they're riding high in terms of lines because of their near performances last year. They had, I would say they give Clemson and Alabama each the best run for their money last season. But, like, they still lost that Alabama game by, I think it was 17 points. And they lost the Clemson game by like two. Like, that was a legitimately close one. The Alabama game was closer than the score indicated. But this year's Texas A&M team is not last year's Texas A&M team. Like, on paper, not a ton has changed. And Jimbo, you would think, would be better with another year. But, like, I'm not seeing it on the field. So, lay it.
Lay it.
Okay, Z, this is your wheelhouse. Michigan State at Wisconsin. Wisconsin minus 11. Is this Wisconsin team any good?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
Short answer. I mean, I don't think they are in the same elite level as the, like, all the teams ranked above them. I would like to see, like, a Florida-Wisconsin game in a bowl game. I think would be a really nice matchup. Those two teams are similar. Right. I believe we are going to see Mr. Alex Hornibrook play for Florida State this week, and you're going to see just the difference from him to Jack Cohn, who's not even great by any standards, but who's like a competent, decent quarterback. It makes a big difference. Hornibrook just wasn't a good fit in that system. Jonathan Taylor's somehow even like better than he was last year. He should be like a sleeper Heisman pick at this point. I mean, he's just tearing people apart. And we're talking about Wisconsin with like great running backs every single year. And he even stands out, you know, above the other guys. Like, he has the best numbers since Ron Dayne. Now, I could spend another whole show dismantling the Ron Dayne myth, but we're not going to do that because we're strapped for time. But he's, you know, he's one of the greatest who's played there. And this is a school that has, you know, Melvin Gordon, et cetera. Yeah, they're the real deal. Their defense is great. I like them a lot. But this is where we talk about Michigan State. You know, last week they played okay against Ohio State, and then Ohio State just turned it to another level and sort of blew the doors off them. And so everyone will think, well, they'll get blown out again. But this is the exactly what D'Antonio loves to do, is like, now he'll keep this game to like a six-point game. So Wisconsin's the better team, the more well-rounded team, and the team that will do better this season. But Michigan State will absolutely pull some shit this game. I guarantee it.
Sounds pretty right. All right, now we're going to the crown jewel of the
Can I add the over-under? There's a Big Ten game that's 40.5 points. That's the one, right? Yeah, absolutely ridiculous. And meanwhile, LSU game is like 56 points over under. So
yep.
We're living in an upside down world, fellas.
Well, hold your breath, because this next one's fucked up. Okay, 3:45, crown jewel, UConn Huskies at Tulane Green Wave. Tom, have you seen this goddamn spread?
I have no idea what the spread is.
Do you want to guess?
Well, Tulane is good. And it's at Tulane. I'm going to guess like 24.
Tom, it's Tulane. I mean, give me a real guess.
I mean, that's what it should be. I don't know. I have no idea. 18?
34.
34. Oh, good.
34.
It went down to 34.
34.
Good. Good.
5 touchdowns.
Wait, it started higher?
I'll look that up
If there's enough money going toward UConn to drop the line, then like we need to fly to Vegas and just have like a mass intervention with whoever's doing this.
I believe when Dan and I looked at the line Sunday night, when they came out, we were guessing them and it was 35 and I went down to 34.
Last week, I joked about the Cabela's next to Rentschler Field being more crowded than Rentschler Field. Allegedly, the attendance for the UConn game last week was 11,000, but you can all Google the photos. What was our guess? Like 2,200 is probably the actual.
27.
Yeah. There is no way there were 5,000 people there. So I actually spent like a half hour earlier in the week Googling like, what is Cabela's daily shopper numbers? I couldn't figure it out, but I said that semi in jest, but I legitimately now think that it was true. Like, there's no way that Cabela's got less than 3,000 people on a Saturday, you know, on a pretty nice day in the fall, hunting season.
Enough about Cabela's. 5 touchdowns we're talking here. What's going on here?
Tulane beat Army.
5. And by the way, the line opened at 30, correction, and now it's spiked up.
Okay, yeah, that is more accurate.
So apparently the Husk has no chance whatsoever. I just want to point that out. Man, that's embarrassing. That's really bad. Wow.
I won't get into details, but the basically Randy Edsall's buyouts are so great that like they can't fire him. So he he can't win, but he also can't be fired. So just, you know, buckle up. We got more of this coming back next year.
More the merrier.
And gaining those bonuses left and right, Randy Edsall. Every week there's a new one that just cracks me up. Like, they lost to South Florida by, what was it, like
26.
Yeah, 26 points or something, and he got, like, 2 performance bonuses because apparently they, like, I don't know, outgain him on first downs or something like that.
Correct.
So yeah, so he makes a cool like $2,000 extra for each of those incentives per game in a game where he got blown out by the pitiful Chaz Strong team.
Brutal.
It's just great. We're the insurance capital of America. How do we like rope ourselves into this like? You know, we're supposed to be risk averse. We're the land of steady habits. Like, how do we get ourselves roped into this deal?
You go from the Fiesta Bowl to getting 34 against Tulane. The wheels are off. It's on fire. Okay, now we're moving on to the 7:30.
I'd like to apologize, by the way, for using the phrase we. What I mean is you, Dan. You went there. I'm not involved. I live down the street. I have nothing to do with him. I drive by it sometimes on the way home from work when 84 is crowded.
I applied to be head coach online. They didn't call.
Well, they made a mistake.
I agree. 7:30 time slot, loaded with action this week. All kinds of nonsense. Here we go. Penn State at Iowa. Penn State lane 3.5 at Iowa, who's no good. Tom, please tell me who wins and why. Total 41.5.
Yeah. First off, honorable mention to Kirk Ferentz. I feel like he should get a HM for the tarmac report. Obviously, he's not going to be fired, but 3 points against Michigan. 10-3. That was a winnable game at 10-3. And
no points in the second half. By the way, it was late last Saturday night. Me and Ryan are exhausted after watching sports all day. And I go, hey, Ryan, there's a replay of the Iowa-Michigan game on the Big Ten Network. He's like, I will fall asleep in 4 seconds if you put that on TV right now.
Why would they do that? I mean, can't they dig into the archives and find something like the Brooks Bollinger story or some shit to rerun?
Now that's fucking funny. Now that's good, Tom. You win. That was good. All right. So give me a pick in this game so we can stop talking about it.
Sure. So you said the the two words that strike fear in the heart of any Penn State fan, which is at Iowa. Even when they're the best, the Saquon year, they barely won. The Larry Johnson year, when they were, I think, ranked number one, they lost there. At Iowa is like the hardest spot. They've performed better at Columbus than they have at Iowa. You know, I don't like it, but when I see this Iowa team score 3 points against Michigan and Penn State's defense is better than Michigan, now you got the home field advantage, but like, how can you picture Iowa scoring more than 14, let's say 17 generously? So I think the best case for them would be that they cover with like a 20-17 loss, but like, how could you put any stock in Iowa's offense? But these are, you know, famous last words for a Penn State fan. So I'll be watching with trepidation, but I don't know. I don't know how you can bet Iowa. But the under 41, yeah, that's right on too.
Hard game to bet.
No good bets. No big bets on this one. I think Penn State's got to win by 4. I think so. But, you know, we talk about college football PTSD, where even when something makes sense on paper, like you get a shell shock from previous years, no better example of that. So I personally won't bet on this.
All right. I got no pick in this game, Ryan. No. Nothing. No. Great.
All right. 20-14 is my prediction, but again, like, I'll leave my money out of it.
You win, Tom. I got a pick in this next game. Arkansas at Kentucky.
Oh, I got Kentucky, a pick too.
Kentucky lands 6.5. Tom, go ahead. Take it.
Yeah, Arkansas sucks. Kentucky's pretty good. Lay it. Arkansas's got a few guys back from injury, but, you know, I don't think that's enough for them.
I agree. Ryan?
Totally agree with Tom. Arkansas, not good. Kentucky, really good. I think Dan's got some pointers here. I'm going to let him take over.
See, I don't know if you'll be able to see what that says on my phone, Tom. You see what that says up top there?
Nah, it's just a blurry white screen. There's a 12.
It says Kentucky Lorenzen lock in my work phone. Now, let me give you an explanation on this. When Jared Lorenzen passed away earlier this year, Kentucky announced that they'd be honoring him at a ceremony at a future game, and they announced it was going to be on this date against Arkansas, and I made a note in my phone. Forgot about it, of course. They're going to hammer Arkansas. Arkansas blows. They lost to San Jose State. They're going to lose here. Rest in peace, Jared. We got ourselves a nice play this week. Kentucky -6.5 all day.
Take the points. Oh, sorry.
In honor of the hefty lefty, I think that the left-hander of the podcast, I should just say real quick, he was an absolute legend. If listeners don't remember him, please YouTube Jared Lorenzen, the hefty lefty, and just watch those highlights. That guy was great.
All right. Also, late slate, USC, Clay Helton at Notre Dame. Notre Dame land 10.5. I think that Arizona quarterback's back, Slovak or whatever.
Yeah, I was Slovak. Hesitant to pronounce his name, but whatever it is, Kavotis, Slovotis, or whatever it is.
Khalil Slovak of the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yes. Yeah, he should be starting this game.
It's okay. I kind of like USC. I don't know why. I just think their offense can score some points. I hate Notre Dame. I'll take the 10.5 on a flyer.
I mean, this is a classic which coach is going to melt down game. This is awesome. This is like Andy Reid versus Herm Edwards back in like the NFL days. Like, who's going to botch this and explode? So for me, this is just a take the point situation because I don't trust either of these coaches or either of these teams.
All right.
Yeah, you know, double-digit points in a rivalry game, take the points, as we discussed earlier with Texas. You know, I think USC gets up to play a game like this, but I do like Notre Dame to win.
All right, Tom, I'm gonna throw this one your way. Nebraska at Minnesota. Minnesota -7.5. The Golden Gophers.
All right.
Do it.
Let's bring it back to Lovie Smith for a second. This Minnesota team, which you have pointed out is really surprisingly mediocre, beat Illinois so badly that they're now a 7.5-point favorite over Nebraska, everybody's preseason hype team, to not just win the Big Ten West, but I think they were like 12-1 odds to win the whole Big Ten and make a playoff or something like that. That was
correction. They were 6-1 to win the Big Ten and 12-1 to win the whole enchilada.
Yes, that was absolutely horrible. And as the only college football analyst and podcast with any sense in America left, we were quick to dismiss that on our first episode of this season. That said, you can't lay 7.5 points with Minnesota.
You're right.
I mean, Nebraska's got better players. They have a better coach. Nothing against Fleck. I mean, I hesitate because Fleck is, I like Fleck.
The way you said that was so funny.
Yeah,
I agree,
well,
Tom.
You know, take the points for sure.
That's a sneaky pick, Tom. I like that pick. I'm going to throw a little bit on Nebraska plus 7.5. I like taking a team who's overhyped early, who now is undervalued, I mean, especially when you get 7.5 against that powerhouse Golden Gopher squad. I mean, my Lord. That's a good pick.
Nebraska's, they're all right. They find ways to win games. It's never pretty, but like, I'll take a more than a touchdown in the Big Ten West, and Wisconsin's not involved. Sure. And Illinois is not involved on the other end.
That's correct. Okay. Real quick. I forgot to throw this one out earlier. I'm going to do it real quick for 30 seconds. Ryan helped me pick this one. He snipped this out. He saw a little bit of this. San Jose State, who we saw win at Arkansas. Now, I know Arkansas sucks, but they are an SEC school. Arkansas is at Nevada. Shit, sorry. San Jose State is at Nevada. San Jose State's getting 2. They're plus 105 on the money line. They have a quarterback, Jay Love, based on his box score, who's pretty good and puts up a lot of touchdowns. Nevada's quarterback, who started every game the entire year, has 3 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, and they lost 52-3 at home last week against Hawaii. They're not any good whatsoever. San Jose State's going to win this game outright as a 2-point dog. Really, really, really love this pick. Really like this pick. Tom, make sure you bet a little bit on this, please, this week.
I love it.
It's a 4 o'clock Eastern game. Throw that in a little parlay action. I'm going to do a San Jose State-Nebraska parlay. Very excited. Okay, moving on back to the late slate. A lot to talk about still. Florida at LSU, 8 o'clock from the swamp. People are already there tailgating. Alligators, purple. LSU -13. Total 55.5. I like to go last. It's the SEC. Ryan, start this one off.
This is really hard.
Yeah, it is.
It just leave the initial gut reaction when you see a line that big in a rivalry this tight is like, there's just no way. That's just way too many points. I don't think it is. I think it's the right amount of points. I really do think LSU is really, really good. They're at home. If you follow LSU football on Twitter, they are super fired up this week. And the thing that really kind of puts this over the edge for me is that LSU is the true DBU. However, Florida's defensive backs have been wearing Florida is DBU t-shirts before the games on the field during warm-ups.
This is going to be a fight. 100%.
It's just that little things like that. Like, I follow a bunch of LSU alums on Twitter, too, like Tre'Davious White, Patrick Peterson, Tyrann Mathieu. They are so offended by this Florida is DBU thing. They're all going to be on the sideline. I don't care who they're playing in the NFL the next day. They're all going to be there Saturday night, and it's going to get real rowdy. And I think LSU is probably going to win this game pretty big. I think this might be like a 37-13, 37-17 type game. I think LSU is that good. I think they take care of business.
I believe in LSU this year in a way I haven't in many, many years, if ever. Even when they were the national champions, they didn't have the kind of offense that led you to believe in them week after week, or they'd have to win ugly, or, you know, I would say it's been at least a decade since there was an LSU team with this kind of promise. And Florida, you know, they like to muddy it up. They're a defensive team, low scoring games, as we saw against Auburn. They gave a lot in that Auburn game, and now they've got to go and turn around and play LSU. All the reasons you mentioned, LSU being fired up. We saw Texas tried the DBU thing, and LSU did not respond kindly to that. And they won by double digits. I feel like Florida is around the quality of Texas, as opposed to around the quality of those top six teams we've mentioned. I just see a stark dividing line between the top six teams and everyone below. And this LSU team's good. Joe Burrow is, they haven't had a guy like that. I don't know. It's been at least a decade and maybe longer. You know, when you think back to their quote unquote good quarterbacks, it's like they weren't even that good, you know?
Yeah. Matt Flynn.
Yeah. Flynn. I mean, Jamarcus, if you want to count him, or, you know, whatever, some of those guys from way, way back. This is a long-winded way of saying, like, I think LSU is going to cover, and I wouldn't call it a rout, but I'm with you, Spillett. Like, I think they're going to win convincingly in this game, 20 points or so.
Yep.
All right, boys. Well, I'm here to straighten both of you out. You both have been bamboozled. You've listened to the national media about this LSU team being different. It's fucking October 9th. Let me get something straight here. It's October 9th. They haven't beaten anyone but Texas. Texas ain't got no good defense. We're going to play a shootout this week against Oklahoma. I like Florida to win outright somehow this week, and they're going to score on defense. Joe Burrow, two interceptions, one return for a touchdown. Florida 27-23 outright.
Wow, wow, wow. Strong, strong disagree.
You guys have been bamboozled by the media. I can't wait till Florida wins.
I've seen it with my eyes.
If they win, you both better call out for the podcast next week.
Yes.
If they win, Coach O might make an appearance on a list.
If Florida wins, and especially if they win like handily, it'll just be Dan recording into an iPhone by himself. Like one of those like end of the world style radio shows from the 30s.
If there's any team that can give this high fly, good feel LSU offense a bad time on Saturday, Florida does not give a fuck about anything. So here we go. It'll be really fun. Looking forward to it. All right. Looking forward to the late night slate here. We got actually three games to talk about. One I did not mention, I want to throw out there real quick. BYU travels to South Florida. This is significant. This is a kind of a good moment. We were joking around. Jaren Hall, I believe is his name, is starting for BYU because our boy Zach Wilson's out with an injury. First African American quarterback starting in BYU history in 2019. So good for them for doing that. And it's going to be an easy team to root for, playing Charlie Strong in South Florida. So the easy good bet of the week, take BYU -5.5 at South Florida. That's a fun one as well.
Hook it with the over for a little bonus
score. Okay, now two games left to get real serious with. Hawaii at Boise State. Hawaii just beat Nevada 52-3 on the road last week. I know Nevada's not good, but that's pretty impressive. This Boise team's got a freshman quarterback. If they were ever vulnerable, ever, this is the spot. Somehow Hawaii has more experience on offense than Boise State does. I know it's a house of horrors for them. I'm probably making this pick with my heart, and I really don't care. I'll take Hawaii +12 in this game all day.
It's still pretty early on the mainland. I don't think there's any snow in Idaho just yet, so Cole's dreads probably won't freeze and snap off like that dude in Cool Runnings.
Good reference.
Well so done. Well done. For that reason alone, I like Hawaii to cover the 12 and potentially a little taste on the plus 325 on the money line.
You guys are definitely brainwashed by the late night Hawaii games. The young Bachmeier, who may be a freshman but has the experience and reading level of a sophomore, he's going to.
That's a good reference too. He's going to.
They're going to show them what's up. Boise is a pretty decent team this year. They're going to win this and cover this.
Okay. Right. Well, time for the last game of the night. This one's so weird. This is the definition of a drunk college football game. This is an 11 o'clock Eastern start. Washington at Arizona in Tucson. Like, Washington minus 6, total of 59. Khalil Tate and company won at Colorado last week and put up some points. He looked fantastic, by the way. It's the best he's looked all season. Washington is just a complete Jekyll and Hyde team. They you know, smash certain teams. They smash Hawaii. They smash USC. Then they lose in a rainstorm to Cal by a point. Then they somehow lose to Stanford, who's no good, last week. Now they're at Arizona. This is, like, literally the hardest game to pick of the entire season. I'm not even joking. This is a game if only if you're a true degenerate. There's no edge. There's no angle. There's no advantage to anything. There's no way to predict this game. There's no way. But if you're drunk on the East Coast Saturday night, throw a bet on anything and root for it because it's going to be hilarious, and I'll be watching.
How did Washington lose to Stanford?
The running back for Stanford had 34 carries for 151 yards. That's like 25 minutes off the game clock there. So it was only a half-hour game, I think. I think that's what happened. I mean,
they went with the old, like, 1990 Giants philosophy.
Yes, that's what they did. They shortened that game right up. So I have no idea if this – what this game could be 52-53. It could be 17-12. Washington can win by 40. Washington can mail it in and lose by 35. No clue. No clue whatsoever. Maybe Arizona plus 180 on the money line.
Maybe. Who's going to win the Pac-12? Like, who's the best team?
I guess Oregon. But their offense is no good. Like, have you noticed this? Apparently, Oregon's gone Jekyll and Hyde. Their defense is apparently elite, and they give up no points. But Herbert and company put up a cool, like, 13 a game now, which makes no sense. Them and LSU have just completely, allegedly flip-flopped.
I mean, if you guys had to, like, bet your life, or if you had to bet, like, $5,000 on, you know, any Pac-12 team to beat I don't know who's like an okay or mediocre team to beat Michigan.
Oh, Utah.
Utah
in a second. Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of experience at quarterback, running back, head coach is great. They're physical, great D-line. They've underperformed this year flat out. I mean, they're a better team. They're a team that could run the table the rest of the way and win 7 games by, you know, 10 points plus in all of them. You know, but maybe not. Maybe they. I mean, the problem with the Pac-12 is these games are so spread out. People are flying all over the place. It's so crazy. It's a different world. It really is.
Perfect example. No one, about no one caring. No one's going to be at this Washington-Arizona game because Friday night in Tucson, it's midnight madness for the basketball team.
Yeah, good point.
That's the most important day of, like, the year. For the entire campus is like Friday night midnight madness. They're gonna drink and party so hard. I don't think Snoop's gonna be there with stripper poles necessarily.
don't rule it out.
They're gonna party so hard that no one is gonna show up to this game Saturday night, like 8 o'clock when it's still 92 degrees in Tucson. Like, nobody's gonna show up to this game. So don't watch it. Don't bet it. Deadline's shady as shit.
I got a basketball pick for you guys. A couple weeks ago when I was in Louisville, I happened to catch the – I was just walking down the street, and there was the Midnight Madness, you know, celebration. They weren't – the players were in the gym, but it was being, like, live broadcast onto 4th Street at this place they have called, like, 4th Street Live, which is, like, you know, It's the Times Square of Louisville. It's got like the Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville and the like Guy Fieri restaurant and all that stuff. But a lot of people there, and people were very excited, and they're saying like they're going to be one of the best, you know, three teams in all basketball. So I've said I don't really watch college basketball, but I was caught up in the fever. Louisville, national champions.
Got the fever.
I don't watch any college basketball, NBA only, so I have no idea.
Don't either, to be clear.
But I feel like they have sanctions. I feel like that's a fraudulent statement because I don't even know like if they're what's going on with them with scholarships and eligibility. They've had some situation lately.
Yeah, Louisville has had not the best luck with coaches all around.
Yeah. But they do have a all-you-can-eat buffet, KFC, in Louisville. I drove by it when I was moving from New York to Arizona, and I was driving through Louisville. I did see the billboard for the country's only all-you-can-eat fried chicken buffet. That seems dangerous.
They also have multiple brands of those electric scooters, which are really fun to ride and also super dangerous. Like, you're not supposed to ride them on the sidewalk. You're supposed to ride them down the street. And they go like 10 miles per hour, which is fast enough to fall off and hurt yourself, but also slow enough where cars are whipping by you.
They're everywhere in Scottsdale.
Yeah, most places have them. I mean, Connecticut obviously is way behind in everything we do. But those things are fun. I highly enjoy them. And the good news is, safer than a motorcycle. No room for your mistress to sit on the back. A really one-person ride.
Ooh.
Well said.
Pay attention, Bobby. We're talking to you.
There we are. Loud and clear. That's it. No more lines. We'll do some lines in a week.
All right. That's anticlimactic. You got anything else? We can do a couple more minutes if you got another topic.
I do. I got one small one. I think we figured out what we're going to do last year was really fun when we did the greatest teams of our lifetime. Mm-hmm. But I think we figured out the sequel, and it's equally as good. Who is the greatest team of all time? And we're going to look at compiling the best roster possible for one university. We're going to have to do some work in the offseason, compile the best roster. And then we're going to play those teams hypothetically in our heads and determine who's the best team of all time. Is it, for instance, the Pitt Panthers with Dan Marino throwing to Larry Fitzgerald with Aaron Donald and Darrell Revis on defense? Or is it Cam Newton and Bo Jackson running the triple option together? Oh, my God. There's a lot of options. So we were just
I like this idea, and I like the fact that it gives a chance to, like, just because you're in Alabama or Clemson doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win this one, because a team like Pittsburgh can put together real all-star team.
Clemson has no chance. I mean, they're, like, drawn dead. They might be a top 15 team, but they're not going to win the whole thing. No way.
It mostly would be guys from the last 5 or 10 years.
Yeah. I mean, you got to think, there's some historic teams. I mean, like, even, like, SMU is really good. Like, I mean, we got to do – There's a lot. Like, Texas is going to be great. Like, we got VY and Ricky Williams and, like, you know, like, guys from the 70s. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, the all-time, Notre Dame versus Miami. The all-time USC, just to pick a matchup from this week. Well, Miami, I mean, yeah.
I mean, it's going to be, Penn State, it's going to be great. It's going to be really fun, Ohio State, to go through all these teams and be like, all right, if this team played this team, who could stop this? And be like, well, they did have this team on. Like, Florida's going to be stupid.
Spoiler alert, if you put Cam Newton under center and you run a wishbone with Ronnie Brown, Cadillac Williams, and Bo Jackson,
oh my God,
you're going to have some problems. You're going to have some problems.
So, I was kicking this idea around. Maybe we could – this would be an interesting one to work on.
It's interesting because I also had an idea, which we actually kind of touched on in this episode. Maybe we'll delay this till 2021 or whatever. But, like, we're talking about DBU. Is it LSU? Is it Texas? Is it Florida? I was thinking about, you know, all time. What is the best running back you? What is the best linebacker you? What is the best quarterback you ever?
Yeah. You can do that every week, too. Be like, next week we'll do safety you and say
exactly.
Who is.
Yeah. DBU, you know, we'll do it by position groups. DBU, linebacker you. You know, because I know for a long time, you know, Penn State claimed to be like running back you, but are they really the running back you? Like, they probably have a lot of
Pitt's
competition.
Pitt's better.
Keep going north.
Shady McCoy and Dorsett in the backfield. I mean, they're going to be.
I mean, Ryan knows. The Cuse, baby.
The hometown team's going to have a long conversation on running back you.
Yeah, and then, you know, and then there's the argument to be made, like, what is it okay to just have a bunch of good guys in, like, the 50s, 60s, 70s? Or do you have to have extended, like, do you have to be good now? You know, if you had a 20-year...
Who owned the championship belt by decade? Running back you was, like, Syracuse in the 50s and 60s, and it was, like, USC. Like, do we count that? Who was, like, through the decades, who had the championship belt?
That's the question. TBD.
Okay. All right. I like this. We'll play around with this.
All right. I like it. I feel like, I mean, if you want to wait till next year on the other one, I feel like the position thing is something we could knock out in the remainder of this year. We'll think about it, folks, in the off.
Bang it out.
Very good.
That's good. Well, thanks for listening to this episode. The good stuff is next year.
Yeah,
just bookmark it. Just ignore us the rest of this year, and then just come back next year, and you'll be good.
Please do. Z, have you seen the commercial real quick? The Dr. Pepper commercial where it's like a husband and a wife, and they have a kid, and they're all wearing stuff. It says what state, and then the kid, and they're like, "Yeah, look at our little state fan," and he's like, "No, state sucks. Go Tech." Well, I'm gonna see you, Tom, in about a month, hopefully. When I come visit, I'm going to give TCZ a Pitt Panthers onesie, and you're going to be like, a Pitt fan in my household.
Never. Unless it's got Beano's face on it.
Okay, that I can maybe make happen, actually, but when we were watching college football on Saturday, that commercial came out, I'm like, I'm going to do this to Tom. He's going to be like, go Pitt. He's gonna be like, no.
My daughter's
friends are sending him Pitt gear for the rest of his life.
Everyone, every birthday, all Pitt gear. Tom's gonna be so mad.
This is gonna be like in 2007 or 8 when I made a joke about Justin Bieber, and then for like 4 years, everybody for Christmas and birthdays kept getting me Justin Bieber things. I had like a Bieber calendar. I have like multiple Bieber Christmas tree ornaments. People hid Justin Bieber playing cards around my old house that I didn't find for like 2 years until I was moving out, and I'm like cleaning the plates out. I'm like, the fuck is that? Oh, Justin Bieber. Yeah. So you gotta be careful. Like, you're playing with fire when you do these kind of pranks. Cause like, if they go right, they can keep going forever and ever and ever. And then, you know, next thing you know, like, you're at your retirement party at work and they're like, Tom was a good guy. He helped us through a lot of tech changes. He loved Justin Bieber, and he was just a huge Pitt fan.
Yep. Fast forward the freaking years 2040, and TCZ's graduating from undergrad at Pitt, and it's all because of the goddamn Dr. Pepper commercial. Go back to this podcast. It's archived.
My 3-year-old, she has been excitedly wearing her Buffalo Bills shirt every Sunday. Like, she wakes up and she's like, I want my Buffalo shirt. And, you know, part of me is proud, but then there's another part of me that's like, should we, you know, she's young. She could be saved.
It's like telling her there's no Santa Claus.
Well, yeah, you don't want to spoil it, but at the same time, like, you don't want to, you know, set them up for too much disappointment. Oh. You know what I mean?
Josh Allen is Santa Claus. Let's do this.
Yeah. So we'll see how it goes with kid one. As with every family, you know, we experiment on kid one and we'll get it right for the second one.
Good luck.
Cool.
Hook 'em.
Yeah. All right. Hook 'em, folks. Go Texas. Go. Who else do we like this week? I think we're split on a lot of the other games. Texas,
yeah, we are.
Though. We all like Texas.
Go Rainbow Warriors. Go Wolfpack. Go Cougars. Goodbye, Jeremy Pruitt. UConn plus 5 touchdowns. Don't take it. Stay away from it. And seriously, this is the best week of college football so far. So hopefully you've built up some good rapport with everybody in your life and you can shut them out of your lives for 12 to 16 hours on Saturday.
Yeah, either hole up by yourself or get a bunch of fellow college football fans and have a party or something. But yeah, enjoy this week. It's going to be a really good one.
Make sure you have plenty of oil for the fryer.
Right.
Drop in early and often.
That's right. All right.
All right, folks. Thanks for listening. See you next week. Bye.